Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm really, really, I'm so blessed to see you all. God has blessed us so much. So many ways. And you know, he just keeps continuing more and more and more and more. Even in these times, you know, these times are no big deal for the Lord to get through to us what he has promised. Amen?
Amen.
It's not a big deal. So if you're looking at the news and you're looking at the experts and you're looking at all the other things going on, stop it. Look at the Word. Look at the Lord. And look at the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Last week, I started, I don't really call it a typical series, but it's really about manifesting God's reality in our lives. And last week, we started with who dictates your reality. And the bottom line is, you do. It's either going to be a reality based in the natural world and what the natural says and what the world and the flesh and the devil dictate, or it's going to be based on what God says spiritually or is yours. And we have this tendency to jump back and forth and back and forth and back and forth from the natural into the spiritual or natural into the supernatural. And the bottom line is the Lord really has called us to live in the spiritual aspect for our whole lives. Now we're all in the process of getting this. Nobody has arrived, right? Not even the big shots on the big ministries, and they'll be the first to tell you, I'm not all the way there yet. I'm going to tell you that. Don't ever look at somebody and say, well, you know, they've got it all together, because everybody is in process. Some of us are just... some of us in the body of Christ are just a little farther along in understanding. But we keep pressing forward and we keep encouraging each other to live in the spiritual aspect of who we really are rather than the natural. Amen?
Amen.
Now while I was in prayer, my personal time this week, and I've been in prayer a lot over the last few weeks, and one of the aspects of my prayer time is I have given up Starbucks. I'm fasting on Starbucks. And I got to tell you, you want to talk about walking in the spiritual? I didn't know I could do it. No, I'm kidding. Walking in the spiritual is where God's called us, as a spiritual man or a spiritual woman. Not a natural man, not a natural woman, with our eyes and hearts and minds glued to what the world says, what our flesh feels, or what the enemy tries to put between our ears, right?
Yeah.
And remember, he's already a defeated foe. He's a loser. He's a zero. He's a nothing.
Yes.
His power over us is deleted.
Yes.
He's still there, lying, and still trying to get through.
Yeah.
But how much we give him... the natural man or woman will give him much, but the spiritual man or woman won't give him anything, right? And we're going to learn. We're learning to live this way. So the title for today is Manifesting God's Reality in Our Lives. Manifesting God's Reality in Our Lives. The Lord spoke this to me this week, and Jesus in Matthew 4, verse 4, he said, "It is written." Quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So here's my prayer for today. Thank you, Lord, for the food of your word to us. It nourishes our souls. It heals our bodies. It clears our minds. Directs our paths and teaches our hearts to trust you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for your word that we can live by. Now, I want you to do something with me. Stand up for a moment. And if you don't have your Bibles, I want you to understand, if you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. But if you don't have your Bibles with you, we're not the kind of church that puts the scriptures on the screens. Because my heart is that you learn the Word. You get it in you. You bring your Bibles. You bring your apps, your iPhones, or whatever you've got, your iPads, and you look it up so that it gets into you. Amen?
Amen.
Hold your Bibles up with me this morning. We're going to make a declaration. And say this with me. Jesus is Lord.
Is Lord.
Period. The Word is true.
The Word is true.
And God's reality, for my life, is now. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Now you can sit down if you would. You got an early seventh inning stretch. Okay. God has called us to live in the reality of a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. We are new creations. That is a reality of our life. But we don't live like that typically. When we're born again, and Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we step from being a natural man, a natural woman, somebody really that's a walking corpse, into somebody that is alive.
Yes.
I mean alive with the life of God.
Amen.
We become a spiritual person. We transfer kingdoms from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from the kingdom of lies to the kingdom of truth. Amen?
Yes.
We have to remember that we are spirit first. When we look in the mirror in the mornings to shave or whatever ladies do, honey. I mean, I'm not going to get your help here. Whatever you do, you're looking at a shell. You're not looking at the real you. The real you and the real me is found in the mirror of the Word of God, which is the truth. Stop looking at the shell, because it's all this is. Everything we live in right now, here, right? This is just a shell. Go to Ephesians. I mean, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I wasn't going to do this, but I need to do this. In the beginning of the understanding of manifesting God's reality in our life, we have to understand, we've got to understand the bottom line of who we are. This is why we teach the classes that we do. Is to help get into us this new reality that we live in. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 20. Ephesians 4 verse 20. Says, but you have not so learned Christ Jesus. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that's for us, that you put off your former conduct, the old man, that's the natural man, which grows corrupt or is dying according to the deceitful lusts that are all around us, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the way you think. The way that we think is, you know, we don't think like the world thinks.
No.
We're to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and that we put on the new man or the new woman, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And that's who we are.
Amen.
That is the spiritual man or woman. That's who we're seeing when we look in the mirror or when we go about our day or we go to our jobs or whatever we do. We are that spiritual man or woman because we have put off the old, the natural, and put on the new because we've been renewed in the spirit of our minds, the way we think. This has got to happen. If you're going to live as a spiritual person or in the supernatural, the way God has called us to do, we have to change the way we think and the way that we perceive ourselves. We have to do this. Now, Ephesians, flip back a little bit and go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're still on the intro here. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every single possibly, in possibility, I'm adding, spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." This is a reality of what he's called us to live in. When you think about this scripture, it is not just, oh, it's all in heaven. It's authored in heaven for here. It's authored in heaven for the spiritual man or the spiritual woman in the here and now. I mean, we're going to be blessed in heaven, right? It's nothing but blessed. Nothing but blessings. But God has authored every spiritual blessing for us on this earth, in this life, if we will learn to live as spiritual people, not in the natural. And not jump back and forth all the time. We get renewed in the spirit of our mind and we start seeing our reality the way God sees it, because that's really the point. We dictate our reality and we manifest our reality in this spiritual blessing reality by faith in God. By faith in God. It's that simple. Now, there's a lot of things that come against it. A lot of things that come against faith. There's circumstances and feelings. And there's our thinking. And then, of course, the lies that the enemy has planted. But there's one thing I want to address today. We're going to get into. And that is the heart. Because manifesting the reality of God in our lives as spiritual people starts with the heart. With faith, we get his reality. Without faith, we will live in the natural results of what the world says, what the flesh dictates to us, and what the devil lies to us about. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Faith creates substance, and faith produces evidence. But it starts with the heart in manifesting the reality of God in our lives. God's reality, his reality is prosperity. It doesn't matter what's going on right now.
That's right.
Amen. It is that we truly are righteous and forgiven. That we are new creations and all the old has passed away. It's gone. And all things have become new. Health and wholeness and healing. Deliverance from anything that has bound us. Sin. Any evil. Destruction. His preservation. His protection. Is ours. And you know there's a lot more. If you get into all the promises of God, which in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 are yes, in him, in Jesus, and amen, there's a boatload of promises that we have. Good stuff, good things. But we're not going to manifest these things if our heart is not there. If we've got heart problems or heart issues or malfunctions or dysfunction in our heart, we're not going to see the reality of the manifestation of what God has for us, period. Because the heart's just saying, wait, whoa. And it's working against us. So when faith creates substance and faith produces evidence, it's because our heart is there. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, we all know this, I think, says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And what Solomon was saying in this is, guard or protect at all costs your heart. Now, we can't always protect it. We try, right? We try to protect our heart from the arrows and the slings and the words and the things and the circumstances and stuff, the junk that tries to come in this world to us, and we do our best to protect it. But he also says in here, it means in the Hebrew to manage it. Manage the thing. Be a manager of what you allow in and what you don't allow into your heart. What you allow to take root and grow and what you don't. And recognize it. Look at it. Examine it. And say, this stuff doesn't belong here. Or this stuff, I'm going to keep this. This is a treasure. And this is gold, like the word. I'm going to keep this here. This is what's in my heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And I want to focus on the issues of life for a moment. Out of the heart spring the issues of life. Here's what happens. When things get wonky or funky and not quite working, wonky, that's my new word for the day, and they're not quite working, the way God says it should, and we all been there, me too, you go, what is going on here? You would call it an issue of life. I'm not seeing what God says manifesting in my life. I'm a new creation, right? I'm a brand new person. I'm an adopted son or daughter of God. I got eternal life. I've got every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and they're mine. They really are mine. Why am I not manifesting God's reality in my life the way he says I have? Because the issues of life are in the way. The issues of life are a problem to our heart. You see, our heart drives our life. I used to say that we live out of our heart, and we do. We live out of what our heart believes and where it stands. And, it's like our heart has its own personality. And the heart, you're in the car. I mean, your body is the automobile, and your mind is like the engine, and your heart is the driver. And it's driving. Here I go. Here I am. Here we go. This is where we're going. I don't care what that says over there. That sign, we're ignoring that. Okay? Nope. We're not going to pay attention to that roadmap. Nope, we're going to go the way I want to go. And our heart drives our life. Yeah. We've got some counselors in here, and they know that this is true. We all do. The heart dictates. The heart is a big chunk of what dictates our seeing the manifestation of the reality of God in our life. Amen. So, what do we do? Well, we'll get to it. Our heart will work either for us or against us. And I don't think there's any one of us alive or breathing in here today that can't say, yep, I know it, because I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in my life. The things that my heart drives me to or pushes or kicks against or whatever it might be hasn't always been for me. Or it can work for me and be a blessing if my heart is in line with the truth of the word. The heart retains and this is how it works. The heart retains every one of our true beliefs. Every single one of us have what we say we believe and what we think we believe, but our heart retains what we really believe. It retains the good, the bad, and the ugly. It retains our beliefs, our pain, our dysfunction, our judgments, our vows, and tries to paint your reality to you. And like I said, it can be good or not good. And it will do that. Your heart will do that. Our heart will do that. My heart also, until you get it addressed. Every one of us. Now we're getting into the icky, sticky, scary stuff. When you're not seeing the manifestation of God's reality in your life, you got a heart problem, probably from the get-go. There's something in there. I'm not talking about completely messed up, but I'm talking about different areas of our heart and what we believe in that true belief area that are kicking against or fighting against the reality of what the truth of the Word is. The reality of what God says. God's reality for us. The heart will many times dictate whether we live as a spiritual man or woman or a natural man or woman, where we revert to. You can renew this. You know, when Ephesians speaks about renewing the spirit of our mind, our heart is included in this. Not just our head, not just our intellect, but our heart. Proverbs 23, verse 7. I want to say the verse that Andrew Womack wrote. It was an inside joke. Says, as a man or woman thinks in their heart, so are they. Can we agree? As a man or woman thinks in their heart, so are we. All of us. This is not just specific. This is everybody. When something is not working, and we are not seeing our lives according to God's reality. Now, we all know God's reality for us is good. Amen?
Amen.
Or are we not sure? And don't feel pressured. But if you don't know first that God's reality for us is always good. He doesn't will us to be sick. He doesn't will us to be poor. He doesn't will us to be depraved. He doesn't will us to be in sin. He doesn't will us to be hurt. That's not what he wants. He wants the very best for us. We are his kids. He wants to get through to us the reality, his reality that we can live in. When we're not seeing God's reality manifesting in our lives, pay attention. Wake up. Don't ignore it. Don't just go and say, oh, well, I'll blow that off or blow by this for now. When you're not seeing God's reality manifest in your life, stop ignoring what's going on and pay attention to what's happening in you. Proverbs 27, verse 19 says, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man or woman. Our hearts will show us when we don't agree with the Word. Our hearts will show us when we don't agree or we don't line up or we don't expect or we don't feel like we deserve or we don't feel like we're living as a new person, a new creation. Our hearts will show us. Pay attention when that happens. Listen, you don't have to write it down. Wouldn't hurt. But it's something to begin to examine and pray about and say, okay, Lord, this isn't working. Typically what happens is, you know, because we're a faith church and a word of faith church, like a grace teaching church, typically what happens is people, when they don't see God's reality manifesting in their lives, this is typical, I'm not saying it's any of you. Well, the word doesn't work. At least in that area. God, I don't know where you went wrong, but you missed it. And it's your fault that this isn't working. And then they go off the rails to some extent. Instead of saying and understanding, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. It's not Him. It's you and me. That's the truth. God never is wrong. He never misses it. We go off the rails when we miss it because our heart gets in the way because the issues of life have been a problem. And we've been derailed. And our heart is driving us right past the exit. That's what happens. Because our heart is dictating a different reality for us than what God says. Our heart will reveal to us when we don't believe. Our heart will reveal when we stumble at God's reality for our lives and don't see it manifested. It will every single time. So I'm encouraging you, I really mean this, don't just blow by and say, well, everything's fine. Everything's okay. Well, just a hiccup in the road. No. Stop and pay attention. As in water, face reflects face, so a man or woman's heart reflects the man or woman. Your heart's trying to show you something. So how does this happen? We know how this, we kind of get an idea of how the heart works and how this happens. Let me give you some examples here and how this plays out. Almost every single human being lives in denial of the fact that there is a problem with their heart. Everybody else has got issues. You all got issues. I don't have any issues. Well, you better look in the mirror. There's not a human being alive that doesn't have something or some things that are dysfunctional in their heart. Not one. Not one. I don't care who you are. That's why this is so important. Because if we're going to manifest God's reality, this is a big chunk of this, okay? Most people live in denial of the fact, and it's a fact, that there's a problem with their own heart. And most people have learned to cope with the dysfunction. And I want to explain this just a moment more. He says, I know I got a problem inside of me and things aren't clicking and I'm missing out on the things God's got for me. Not in every area, but boy, in some crucial areas in His reality and manifesting. And I can't, no matter what I do, I cannot seem to manifest God's reality in my life. I can't do it. I can't do it. Even though I know it's given to me by His grace and it's already mine, it's already done. I can't seem to make it manifest. Why? Because all my life I've been coping with a problem that I have been in denial that I've had. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I've been coping with it, and I've been working around it, and I've been trying to oh, there it is again. Whoops, and I'm living my life, and I tripped over it. There it is again. And it's driving my life. It's determining what you're going to manifest in God's reality. We learn to cope with that dysfunction. And we don't see the manifestation that God has already paid for. Jesus has paid for us. And the reason is because the heart knows the truth of what it believes. You can't deny it. I mean, you can deny it, and you can try to cope with it, and you can try to move around it, but it's still there, and it still knows what it believes. Regardless of what you try to speak out of your mouth or, you know, what you try to feed on intellectually, your heart is not in line with you or the Word. Mark 11:22-23. This scripture is always one of my favorites. Pastor Schoen used it today in healing. Have faith in God. Now this is when Jesus cursed a fig tree. He said, fig tree, never bear fruit again. Next day he came back and had with his disciples and it dried up. It was deader than a doornail from the roots up. How did that, I mean they go, how did that happen? I mean you can't do that. Nobody can. Really? Really? Jesus did. As a man. In faith. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Boy, that's a heart change right here. Because your heart is transferring from faith in you and the circumstances and the world and the flesh and the devil to faith in God. Have faith in God. No faith in yourself. No faith in what you do. No faith in your ability to cope. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And here's the crux event. And doesn't doubt in his heart or her heart. Doesn't doubt in his or her heart. But believes those things they say will be done. They will have whatever they say. The reason we doubt in our hearts is because we've got that thing there that we're trying to cope with. And work around. And it's still there. And we know it's still there. And we're denying it's there. And we're not facing it or dealing with it. So we give our confession, what we speak in power and authority, and we don't see it. Because the heart knows what it really believes. That's why. I had an experience. I have to make this quick. I had an experience. I was out on a motorcycle earlier this summer for a little test ride, any excuse to go. And I got about 20 miles away from the house, and I passed another guy who was broke down on the side of the road on a motorcycle. Now, the unwritten rule with motorcyclists is you always stop, and you always help out another brother or sister motorcyclist that's broke down. That's just the unwritten rule. So I got by and I whirled around and I came back and I pulled up behind him and he had the seat up and he had the jacket off and things were kind of like all over the place. And I walked up to this bike and I walked up to him. He looked like he just got off work or something. I don't know. But I said, hey, are you okay? He said, well, I think my battery's dead. I think I got to have a jump. Can you jump my battery? Can you bring your bike up and jump? And I thought, whoa. Just a minute. Let me see. Can I look at it with you? Let me help you. I really wanted to help him. I'm praying. You know, and I'm speaking in tongues. I'm praying in tongues. I'm saying, Lord, how can I share you with him? How can I do this? And I said, what's your name? He said, my name is Toby. That's his real name. I'm not going to give you his last name. I hope he hears this. Toby was working on a motorcycle. I hope you can get the impact of this. But the motorcycle had to be 40 years old. And it looked like it just came out of the barn, like it had sat for 20 years. And the tires were near bald. They looked like they were 20 years old. I mean, that's scary to even think about rolling it on that, let alone riding it. It had wires disconnected everywhere. The lights were disconnected. The wires were hanging off. Wires over the engine were hanging off. The gas tank had rust pockets bubbling out of it. The gas cap had to be hooked on with a trailer hitch pin. I said, "Where'd you come from?" He said, "Flint. It's about 50 miles away." I said, "How did you get here?" Because it had to be in the morning early when it was dark. "How did you get here with no lights?" "Oh, I pulled this out." And he had a solar light that he stuck on in front of where the headlight was. And I said, "Okay, and no brake lights, no anything like that." And he had the seat up, which was all cracked and broken. The seat had no latch. I mean, it just flopped. And as he was flipping this thing up again, and the battery, he had the, if in the, for those of you who know this, the ground and the positive cables had no terminals. They were just bare wire. And he's trying to tuck them in around the battery, around the post, so that they would stay so he could kick it over and start it up. I said, "Do you know if that battery's even got any juice?" So I said, "Let's test the battery." And it was as dead as anything I've ever seen in my life. He said, "Well, I got a wire." He said, "Bring your bike over here and we'll jump it from yours." And I said, "Uh-uh. Oh, no." And I think the kicker of it was when I looked down, the muffler had broken off, the bracket had broken, and he had it tied up with a white household extension cord. That was kind of the last thing. And I said, "Toby, listen, let's pray. All right, can I pray for you? I'm a Christian. Can I pray?" So I was telling him about the Lord a little bit. And so I put my hand on him and I prayed, you know, "And Lord, he needs some help." I mean, he needs a lot more help than I can give him. And I said, "Toby, this thing ain't going to start. Let's push it up." The gas station was a mile away. I said, "Let's push it up to the gas station." So we did. We pushed it a mile up to the gas station. I said, "I'll call a tow truck. I'll call somebody, you know, whatever you need." He didn't have a cell phone. No, I got it covered. The bottom line is, Toby was absolutely flat, determined to make this thing work. I mean, he was going to make this thing work. No matter what, he was going to stay there until this bike got running. And I mean, there was no way. There was no way. And we got all done, and I talked to him a little more about the Lord. He wasn't really there. And I took off. I said, "I got to go." I took off. He was at the gas station. I said, "You can get a sandwich. You can get help. You got gas. I mean, they got phones. You can call." And I left and I said, "Lord, what was that all about? That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in a breakdown." He said, and this is, you know, this is how the Lord spoke to me was, and I'm going to give you the verbatim. He said, "This is the picture," and it was vivid, "of how we are determined to work around our problematic hearts and cope and make our life work regardless of what the problem is in our heart. We're determined." And he was stubborn and determined, and it wasn't working. And he might have gotten the bike started. He might have got rolling on, but it wasn't going to be for very long. And that is the picture of what we who deny our heart has a problem do. We are determined to make it work, and guess what? It's going to break down again. and cause you problems, because out of it spring the issues of life. Right?
Yes.
This is how it works. This is how God designed us, is to be able for our heart to be in line with our minds and His Word. And we're not, because we come out of the world into being a new creation, out of the natural into the spiritual. I want to tell you that in my own life, there are still things in there that I'm recognizing today that I'm still dealing with. I'm still dealing with them that are causing me. I've seen a lot of God's reality manifested in my life in healing and prosperity and deliverance and protection and all kinds of relationships, all kinds of other things. I've seen a ton of things, a ton of miracles, a ton of supernatural, but I'm not there yet. Because I still see things, and I'm dealing with one right now in my own life. I go, oh, I stumbled over this thing. Here it is. Well, guess what? You can sit down, Carmina. Thank you. I'm not going to just cope with it. I don't do that. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I want to live as a spiritual man in the supernatural, not as what the world dictates in my life. I want what God's reality is in my life. I don't want the world's reality. I want God's reality. I want the kingdom of heaven and the truth to be a part of my life and to be manifest in my life. I want God's reality. I don't want the rest. So when I do stumble over something in my own heart that prohibits me or hinders me from manifesting the reality of God, I deal with it. I face it and I deal with it. Whatever I have to do. God wants our hearts restored to the original design He made them to be in. That is to be trusting of Him, to be in love with Him, to be confident in Him, to believe Him, to walk with Him, and when He says something, to just say, I got it. I do it. It says, I give you this, and oh, I got it. I can receive it. It's not problematic to receive from our Father, from our Lord Jesus, from the Holy Spirit. It's not problematic to do that. Most people are afraid to acknowledge they got a problem in their heart. Most people deny the dysfunction that is in their heart. Most people will. Let me tell you, not any of you. Most Christians flat deny they have a problem. Amen. And you can look at them and go, my goodness, you're Toby.
Yes.
Please get help. So you can live in the reality of what God has for you. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus, quoting Isaiah, one of the most powerful verses to me. He says, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Now any of us deny that our heart's been broken or that it's dysfunctional. Reality of it is, in the Hebrew is, you got a dysfunctional heart because it's been molded and beat up and bent around and spoken into, and it looks like Toby's motorcycle because of the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we refuse to face it. We deny that there's a problem there. It's a fact. It's staring us in the face, but we deny it instead of going to the Word. And I don't mean just going to the Word saying, I'm going to read the Word until I get it. Well, that could happen. But facing and admitting that you've got a problem. This is one of the things I love recovery programs. You know, I don't necessarily agree with all the doctrine, but I love recovery programs because the bottom line is, you know what they do? They make people face when they have a problem.
That's right.
I got a problem. Yeah, so does everybody. They just don't admit it. Now, is this a little too real today? Fear, shame, guilt, pain, the lies that we've believed are the basics of what make people afraid to face that they have a problem. Admit they have a problem. Admit they've got a dysfunction in their heart. Admit, I'm not seeing God's reality in my life because I got a problem in a particular area. Afraid. Afraid of what? What somebody thinks? Who gives a rip? Really? Who cares? They got as many or more problems than we do. God wants our hearts restored to the original manufacturing standards. That's where He wants us. That's what He has for us. He wants us to operate in the spiritual as a spiritual man or woman and manifest God's reality in our lives. How do you do this? I'm over time. Can you give me 3 more minutes? Number one, you must stop denying the problem because it's been reflected to you how many times. You got to stop denying you got a problem and you've got to admit it. You have to admit it. You have to admit it. You have to admit, I have a problem in my heart. It's not scary unless you let it be. I've got a problem in me, and it needs to be dealt with. Number two, stop denying you have a problem. Got to admit it? You got to stop denying. I don't have a problem. I'm okay. Everything's okay. I look like Toby in my life, but, you know, I got a problem. No, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. Don't you hear me confessing? Don't you hear me speaking? Don't you hear me just commanding and taking authority over things? How's that working? How's it working? How's it working for you in manifesting God's reality in your life? You might see some results, but you're not going to see the fullness of what He has for you. Bringing something in our hearts or our lives, or when there's a problem in our life, this is where it gets hard for Christians because everything's supposed to be perfect, and it is flat not. Bringing it in the open allows the truth of the Word of God to begin to penetrate that darkness, that stumbling block, and heal us. Bringing it into the open is a first step in manifesting the reality of God in our lives. Okay, number three. There are members, you know, the body of Christ is made up of all kinds of members, all kinds of people, right? We all have different parts and roles to play. It's not all pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, and evangelists. It's all kinds of different functioning parts of the body. There are members in the body of Christ that God has placed in the body to help all of us heal. Counselors, pastors, sometimes friends, most of the time not, because friends can't see the forest for the trees, and they won't tell you the truth. You want somebody that's going to tell you the truth. Yeah. And somebody that you can trust. Yeah. Yeah. With what you share. Whatever it might be. I'm stumbling with this. I struggle with fear. Or I struggle with condemnation. Nobody knows I do. I'm not talking about me. I'm just saying, for instance. Yeah. But I can't bring it up because everybody will think I'm less than what I am. Well, that's a big lie. Get help. God's put people in the body to help us. It's all over the place, and I don't have time to go into it right now. Number four, thank you. I don't have mine numbered, is serious prayer, not popcorn prayers. Serious time in the presence of God, being with Him, and finding out and admitting and realizing and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, and allowing the Word of God, because you're in the Word at the same time, work in us. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and powerful and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. But we need many times someone, we need God with skin on to give a little help. We're not always the best at judging our situations. Lastly, you know, Pastor Rosie and I have encouraged you all to read at various times a book by Dr. Jim Richards called How to Stop the Pain. And I don't know why this is a problem, but I'm going to encourage you to read it. And when you're done reading it, reread it. And then when you've reread it, reread it again. Because it will help identify many of the stumbling blocks that are in this heart we're tripping over that's driving us. And we're missing manifesting the reality of God in our lives because of that. It's one of those helps. And it's a simple, easy to read. I don't know how many people I've talked to. Have you read the book, How to Stop the Pain? Well, I've read the first chapter. You kidding me? That's it? Read the whole thing. These are all beginning steps. Okay? To dealing with this Toby heart in various areas of our lives that needs help in order to manifest the reality of God in our lives. Got to do it. Stand up, please. Now, I'm going to close in prayer. And my heart, my prayer is that when this comes on the podcast, you listen to it again and you go deal with it. You go deal with what you got. Please hear me. This is only if you want to manifest the reality of God in your life. If you don't want to manifest the reality of God, please don't listen to it and don't do anything that I shared today. All right? Sound good? Are we in one accord? All right. Father, in Jesus' name, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And most of us want our hearts whole. Back to the original manufacturing standards so we can manifest the reality of God, your reality in our lives. And not settle for what the world has, but settle for what you have only. That's what we want. And that's how we want to live. And live as this new creation, the spiritual man or woman that you made us to be. That's what we want. And that's what our spirit's crying out for. And Lord, that's where we want to go. Help us get our hearts in line and healed and back and dealt with the way you want us to. So we can start receiving for real. And Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Jesus.
Have a blessed week. Hallelujah.